Last week, I paused and I talked about the people in your boat determine whether you sink or float in life. And when I said that, I could tell in the room that it had touched a nerve, because I began to talk about people in your life that bring division or people in your life that bring unity. And when I'm speaking, I'm also reading you to see what God is doing in your life and what you are going through. And as I began to pray about this weekend, I said, God, show me what you want me to do. And he began to just unfold for me that not only do I need to tell you the people in your life, the people in your boat will determine whether you sink or float, but what type of people? And because there are some type of people that you need in your life. There's some type of people that you must have in your life to help you reach your potential. And then there's some people that if you have in your life, you'll never reach God's potential for your life. How many of you know that God's got a plan for your life? How many of you know this, that with the wrong person, it can hinder God's plan for your life? We've all seen that. And so next week, we're going to talk about the people that you must have in your boat. But today, I want to hit the more difficult subject, and I want to talk to you about the people that you must get out of your life. And if you don't get these people out of your life, it can absolutely shipwreck your life. And I believe this message is important because it's going to save some people going through life with the wrong people. And God wants to save many of you today, especially young people, from turning away from your parents, from turning away from your family. And God has great plans for your life. And I say this all the time, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. And you certainly don't want to miss it because of you having the wrong person in your life. And so I want to talk to you about the three people that you want out of your life, okay? And when I was thinking about this message, I was actually up in a deer stand. And I said, Lord, you know, what are the people that we need to talk about? What are the people that could absolutely, you know, shipwreck someone's life? And I began to list people, and I listed 21 people that you need to throw out your boat. And I thought, that's a lot of people. And God was like, Brett, you're going to have people like rowing the boat alone if you tell them this, okay? So I said, God, well, how about this? I'll just get a pen and paper, and how about how about I just leave my opinion out of it, and you tell me, and I'll open up my Bible, and you tell me the three most dangerous people, the three people that are so dangerous that if they're in your life, they'll shipwreck your life. And boy, I tell you what, he made it so clear. The moment I started looking through this, he began to tell me quickly the three most dangerous people. Because Proverbs 13:20 says, one who walks with wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And what he means by that is we'll suffer sin, we'll suffer the consequences of sin. And so I had a whole list of people named, but when he showed me the three, the common denominator in the three were these people would greatly lead you to sin, which is to keep you out of the will of God. And the first person that he showed me was the person that slanders. Psalms 101 shows us this. It says, whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Now, I don't want to be on that side of things. I don't want God to destroy my life. I don't want me to destroy the will of God for my life by being a slanderer or being around someone who slanders. Matthew 12:36 says this, that Jesus once said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. I don't like that verse. I've spoken carelessly sometimes. You know, there's some stuff that we wish Jesus didn't say. That's one of those for me, right? And so he's talking about slanderous people. And I want to show you the seriousness of slander, okay? Ephesians 6:11 says this, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that means the tricks, of the devil. Did you know that this word right here in the Greek means slander? That means how we got our word devil is slander. Devil and slander are the same thing. No wonder he's called the accuser of brethren, the father of lies. No wonder, right? This word devil literally in the Greek means slander. And now, you know what a slander is. A slander is someone who lowers the reputation of others by defaming them or either speaking ill of them. That means this, just like we can do the Lord's work by sharing the gospel, just like we can do the Lord's work by showing mercy and grace and serving? Did you know that we can be a part of the devil's work and do the devil's work by slandering? We can do the devil's work by slandering or not stopping slander. And I have a friend of mine who owns, he has a mega church in California. And I said, what do you have to talk about most in California? He said, I have to talk about entitlement, because you look out there and they've got a parking garage and they're full of, you know, Lamborghinis, and they're full of, you know, Ferraris. And he said, I have to talk about entitlement all the time. He said, Brent, what do you have to talk about? I said, well, I just kind of go verse by verse through the Bible. But if I had to say a subject that would, anytime I mention it, it gets real quiet, I said, it would be gossip. Because our town loves they love to gossip. You hear so-and-so got the new car, you hear this, you hear that, and they like it. And I want to just show you, if you've got a slanderer in your life, it's a very dangerous person to have in your life, because you can be allowing the work of Satan to be done and spread. Slander is one of the greatest sins out there, yet have you ever noticed the devil minimizes it? He makes it feel trivial, don't he? He makes it feel like it's not a big deal. Now, why would the devil make it feel like it's not a big deal? So we would continue to do it, right? And did you know this? You cannot be friends with a slanderous person and stay in the will of God, because you'll be doing the work of Satan. You can't be friends with a slanderous person and stay in the will of God, because you'll be doing the work of Satan. And I have seen so many people that God's taken his hand off of their life, off of the life of their family, off of the life of their children, which is the scariest thing to think about. The scariest thing in the world is God's hand to come off of your life. And I've seen it because they're around slander and they've done nothing about it, or they slander others. And these people, unfortunately, never connect the dots. So if you're have a friend or someone in your life and they're a habitual slanderer, they're always rolling their eyes, they're always speaking bad about people, they're always saying something about others, you do know that's not your friend, right? You do know you're not exempt from their slander, right? Here's the deal. If someone will talk about others to you, they will talk about you to others. You do know that, right? And so you're not exempt. And there are three responses to slander that we can take. We can take the low road, which is to join in on the slander. We can take the middle road, which is just to take the middle, peace at all costs, do nothing. Don't join in on the slander, but not, you know, stop it. The problem with this is it's just as bad as the low road, because it's allowing the work of Satan to continue, right? And then, you know, if you take that middle road, you got to be careful, because not only are you allowing the work of God, the work of Satan to continue, but when you do that, it's your opportunity to stop Satan's work and do God's work. Like, I always listen when people come up to me and they'll say, so-and-so said this about you, Brent. I don't worry about so-and-so, because they didn't pass their test. What I'm worried about is the person that's bringing it to me. What did they say? You ever had that happen to you? So-and-so said this. I ain't listening for so-and-so. They didn't pass their test. What did this person say? And if they didn't say nothing and they're just bringing it to me, I think you just didn't pass your test. I can only put you in the circle here or here that I can't trust. I can no longer trust you, because you were in the presence of someone slandering me and you didn't do nothing. And you allowed Satan to continue to work. So that's a test for them. Then there's the high road response. The high road response is to stop the devil's work. The high road response is that when someone is slandering a friend or someone you know or your church or whatever, is to say, what do you mean by that? I love doing that. I love doing that, because it makes them accountable for slander, and it takes you out of that. We say, what do you mean by that? Well, then they've got to explain why they're slandering someone, which is so fun to watch, by the way. It is very fun. See, you got to speak up. You got to have a backbone. You got to be able to be on alert and listen to it, because here's what you don't want to be. You don't want to be a garbage can. If someone, you ever heard somebody say, I don't know why they always come to me and tell me that stuff. You know, I just don't get it. Why they always come? You know why? Because you're a garbage can. That's why. Because I don't know why everybody in the office comes and tells me, because you're the place that they can bring their trash and drop it. The trash, you see what I mean? We don't want to be a garbage. You're a chosen vessel from God. You don't want to be a garbage can. You know what you want to be? You want to be something totally different. You want to be not a garbage can. And Ethan, I'll get you to help me with this. You want to be a ping pong paddle. Meaning this, when someone comes to slander you, or they come and tell you about the person in their office, or they come and tell you about your family, you don't want them to go into can, right? I mean, just for example.
Yeah, like if someone said, did you hear about so-and-so at the office?
You see how you just stopped it? You were about to join into this, and you got rid of the slander.
Can you believe what your boss said?
You didn't join in. You didn't let it get in there.
Did you hear what Pastor Brent said?
Oh.
Did you hear what your sister said?
See, that's a bad one. That one talks about in over in Proverbs, talks about the six things the Lord hates. He hates those who sow division among family. That's a bad one, but it's a sneaky one because someone can say, man, I can't believe your sister said this. Or if you're dating and they can say, hey, so-and-so said this, or your brother is the favorite brother, or this, that. They're dividing family. So you need to get that one out of there quick.
Did you hear what your dad said?
Oh, that's a bad one. That's not honoring your mother and father.
Did you hear that Cascade Hills wants to see your W-2?
The fact that you would go there, out of everything that you could do, you just had to go there, didn't you?
Keep on your toes.
Wow, Ethan Hall. And just think, I appointed you campus pastor, too. Yeah, that's the lie that don't die, by the way. You know, we got to meet the guy that started that rumor. Gasket Hills, you had to show your W. Ain't nobody ever asked for that. We won't. We met the guy. He said, I started that rumor. And I said, I want to ask for God. I feel guilty ever since. And I said, I forgive you, but here's the deal. It's like going up into a 100-story building and having a feathered pillow and opening it up, and then the mess is already out there, and then saying, I'm sorry. Like, that's the lie that won't die. But you see, our point here is, don't be a trash can where things come and they drop their trash here. Deflect it. Stop the work of Satan. Don't let it continue. That's our job as Christians. So if you have a person that they are a slanderous person, throw them overboard. don't have that. That's doing the work of Satan. The second person is this. It's the divider. As I was in that deer stand, I began to write down, I said, God, who can destroy someone's life? Holy Spirit spoke to me and showed me the divider. You know, he also showed me this. Jesus' last prayer was for unity. And you know that Jesus' last prayer wasn't just for the people of those days. He says also those to come, meaning us. He prayed for unity. That's pretty important if Jesus' last prayer is for unity. There's certain people that all they do is they divide you from other people. Division is of the devil. Unity is of Jesus. Remember Jesus prayed, he said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. He's saying this, the greatest way to repel a lost and dying world going to hell is fighting and division among Christians. That's what he's saying. Now, if you've got someone in your life that is always dividing you from other people, run. Get them out of your life as fast as possible. They do this by dropping seeds of doubt. Just like Ethan just dropped that ping pong ball, they drop seeds of doubt. They'll begin to say, I wonder what they meant by that. I wonder what so-and-so meant by that. You ever had that in your life? And they sow the doubt, and then you have to make the decision on what you do with that. And the thing you got to worry about is division at a deep level. Like when they divide you against your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your son. That's where Proverbs talks about the six things the Lord hates. Then he says, no, the seventh thing is an abomination. Now, when God talks about that, he said seven. You know, seven means the number of perfection in the Bible. He said, if you want to know the thing that I perfectly hate, that God perfectly hates, it's one who sows discord among brethren. That means division. He said, if you want to know what God perfectly hates, is that. And we got to watch for that in the end times. We live in the end times. Remember Matthew 10:21 tells us about the end times? And it says, brother will betray brother. Father will betray child. Children will rebel against their parents. We've got to really watch so there's not division. And you know what I'm seeing more than anything? And I told you this last week, but it's worth saying again. I'm seeing this more now than ever before. Our pastoral staff is seeing it. They're seeing a boy that dates the wrong girl or vice versa, and that person that they're dating, they ignore the warning signs. They ignore the little seeds of division. And then you see them when they get married, this son no longer has anything to do with the mother and father. Godly parents, They grew up in church. You should hear the heartbreaking stories that I'm hearing from mothers who are just, their hearts are just ripped out. I haven't talked to my son in a year. I haven't talked to my son in 2 years. They marry the wrong person. They begin to believe the lie that your mom don't love you as much. Your mom loves your sister more. Or, you know, I'm not, they love this daughter-in-law more than me. And they begin to plant little seeds and to divide them. And since they're the biggest voice in their life, that voice becomes truth even though it's a lie. You listen to a lie long enough, sometimes your mind will turn it into a truth. And you remember what we always talk about, the voices you listen to determine the choices you make. And the choices you make determine the direction your life takes. And if you marry the wrong person, that is the loudest voice in your life. And what we are seeing is a lot of that. And you'll see these parents that love God that are now no longer have a relationship with their children. And I want to tell you, young people, just look for this. There's a person you're dating, just like I said last week. Do they bring unity? Do they bring you closer to your family? Do you spend more time with your family? Do they talk about your family in a good way? Or do you spend less time with your family? Or are you suddenly a little bit isolated from your family? That right there should cause you to break it off if it's of division. If they drop even the smallest hint of division, break it off. Blame it on me. Blame it on the bald-head preacher. But break it off. You don't want that in your life. You don't want to miss the will of God for your life. You don't want to not have a relationship with your family. And that's what can happen if you allow division to happen in your life. Because you need to know, and I know it's difficult because you're in love, you know. But if you don't do it, yeah, you might think I'm behind the eight ball. The person my age has the house already. They got the white picket fence and all that. You can have that and marry the right person. You can be the most miserable person behind that white picket fence. Trust me. And everybody in life goes through life and they've got two things. And this goes for not just dating, but for everybody. When we're talking about sowing to score, everybody goes through life and they've either got water and they put division out, or they've got gas and they're sowing division and blowing relationships up. I mean, you could be a married couple like Ethan, our campus pastor, and his wife, Victoria. And Victoria could come down home after a hard day at work, and her dad gave her some advice. And, you know, she's a grown adult. She's been married, you know, however long. And gives, you know, the dad gives advice, and she comes home, and she's got more grace for her parents than Ethan does because they're blood. And she says, I can't believe my dad. He told me this, this, and this today. And he told me I should watch out for this. And Ethan now has a choice. Do I say, I can't believe your father did that? Man, he probably loves your sister more. I can't believe that he would do that. And blow that up and cause friction. Or Ethan has the godly choice to say, your dad loves you. Don't think nothing of it. Don't think it. He just loves you. He's just protective. Don't you think a thing of it. Your dad loves you. Every one of you have a choice in life to pour gas on something and divide, or to water and pour it out. And I want to tell you, if you've got people that are constantly, I know people, they carry around two or three of these and one on their back. I know one of them, they got gas in one hand and they got jet fuel in the other hand. And those people you want to get out of your life because they can shipwreck your relationships and they can shipwreck your life. You know how? When someone casts a seed of doubt, it ends in our imagination. It gets here in our imagination. We begin to play games with our, and the devil's battleground, by the way, is your mind. That's why I always say the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Look at over here in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he talks about this. He tells us to cast down imaginations. Why? Because that's where the devil works. You ever had somebody say something and they'll say something, you'll go, I wonder what they meant by that. And you'll come up with 425 things that they probably meant by that. You and I both have done that. We've all done that. It's the devil trying to divide you. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, watch this, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's what that means. When someone casts doubt, the devil's going to go to work on your imagination. What do they mean by that? What do they mean by this? You take it captive. You throw it behind the jail cell, and you say, I'm putting you behind the bars, on hold, on trial, and I'm going to see if this thought is obedient to Christ. I'm going to see if this thought will lead to me responding in a way that's obedient to Christ. I'm going to see if this thought is obedient to the Word of God. And if it's not, 99.9% of the time, you're going to find out it's of the devil. Don't let the devil get in your imagination and ruin relationships. They might be over there not thinking a thing about you, but that's what he does. And so if you've got someone in your life with division, throw them overboard. The final person is this, the godless person. As I began to sit up in that deer stand, I said, God, you've shown me slander. You've shown me the most dangerous person, the divider. But who else? You ever had the Holy Spirit just give you a word? He'll just tell you a verse. I'm sitting in that deer stand, and he said, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. I said, wait a minute, God, are you talking about the godless person? And then I realized that every one of these people, the slanderer, the divider, the godless person, will lead you to sin. God don't want you to sin. God sent Jesus to die for your sin. Sin separates us from God. And I said, "The God, you mean the God? Hold on, God. We're after the godless person." Yeah, Brent. I get that. We're after. We're called to reach them. But if you're unequally yoked and you're running with the godless person so much, you won't influence them. They will influence you. And before you know it, they will lead you into sin. See, the godless person isn't in your boat in life, shouldn't be in your boat in life. They're drowning in sin. You are in the boat, they're drowning in sin, and you are what? You're throwing them Jesus. And you are trying to reach them. You are trying to get them in the boat so that you can disciple them, so that you can tell them what it looks like to walk with Jesus. Tell them what it looks like to follow his teachings. You are to do that. But if they are in your boat, you are headed for shipwreck. Because it says, do not be unequally yoked. There's a verse that says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This verse is for marriage, but the principle is for relationships. For what does the righteous and the wicked have in common? Or what do fellowship can light have with darkness? You ever seen a yoke when it says be unequally yoked? A yoke looks like this. It's a farming tool where they would take the ox and they would plow with this. Thank God for John Deere and Kubota, right? But they would put their head through here. And let me tell you, they're going to go in the same direction. They can't go in different directions. And he's painting a picture here. God is saying, you can't be yoked with an ungodly person to be so close with them, lest you go in the same direction as them. You mean well, I'll influence them, I'll make them better. But when a sick person gets around a healthy person, who gets sick? The healthy person. The sick person is already sick. And we must be careful that we are on a rescue boat, on a mission to reach them, but that we influence them, not the other way around. And if you have someone in your life that greatly influences your life and they don't have the Spirit of God in them, it'll lead you to sin, okay? And especially when you talk about just doing life together, being very close together, that's why Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? You remember when we talk about this, we've got to remember that Paul talks about godless people that rejected the grace of God. You remember what he said over in Romans? He said, these people that reject the grace of God, they're slanderers. So we covered that. He said, they're haters of God. You got to remember, they don't have the Spirit of God within them. So they've got different values than you do. You've got the Spirit of God in you, okay? And so you have different values. You don't want them influencing you and you not influencing them. Now, I want to open your eyes here. I know you're mature enough to handle this. But I want to open your eyes to what's happening in a bigger scale, how Satan uses the godless person on a bigger scale to influence all of us. See, he influences the masses by a godless culture created by godless people. And now we're seeing Christians standing up for things that Christ doesn't stand for. How did it happen? Because a godless culture created by godless people begin to influence Christians. And I want to tell you that the church is to change the culture, not the culture change the church. Or it could be said this way, because the church is a Christian, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are to change the culture, not the culture change you. You see what I mean? But we are living in a day were, woe is those who call good evil and evil good. You know what that woe means? That means you will be judged. That we will all be judged if we call something good that is evil. The Bible should be your final authority in life. Not the White House, not a politician, not a social media influencer that's godless, not godless music, not someone in power that's godless. The Bible should be the final authority. But here's what's happening. People are buying in to them instead of him. And we're listening to godless people who have created a godless culture, and it's influencing the Christians more than us influencing them. And the Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Now, judgment will come to those people. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Bible, through the truth. Then you will be able, and I want us to hone in on this, to test and approve what God's will is. He said, when you're in the Bible, when you're in the Word of God, and you're in the truth, you'll be able to test, and you have the Spirit of truth within you, you'll be able to test what's good and what is not good. Now, more than ever, I believe a godless culture created by godless people is influencing Christians more than ever as we ride into this election season. More than ever. Nothing divides like politics. I mean, you can feel it in the room right now with me just saying the word. Nothing divides like politics, except for the truth. The truth divides more than politics. Who is the truth? Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. Who is the truth? The Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. What is the truth? God's Word. And as we get in here, we need to be very careful that us Christians are not influenced by a godly culture created by godly people rather than influenced by God's word. We ought to say, what does God say? What does God say? Now, when we go to the voting booths, we ought to say, what does God say? Because we all know that neither party we're not voting for priests. They would both fail, right? We're voting, and we're not going to find someone who's perfect, or we're not going to find someone who totally aligns with God's word. But what we've got to do is say, okay, let me put on my spiritual glasses, and let me see what God says, and then let me see which party or which person aligns more with what God says, unless we're unbelievers. See, if we're unbelievers, here's the thing. If we're unbelievers, our allegiance is more to a political party or person than it is the person of Jesus. And that's what you'll find. If you're a believer, you say, I don't care which party, which person, I just want, if the chips stack higher on this and they check more boxes of what God is for, that's who I'm voting for. Now, the unbeliever, they still live in the flesh. They can't handle that. They say, no, my allegiance is more to this person, this party. But the believer says, I don't care. I'll switch parties. I'll do whatever. I got to stand before God, holy God. I just want to know what God says. So let's look at this so that we don't get influenced by a godless culture, by godly people. What does God say before we go get in that voting booth? Now, you can't get mad at me, okay? Here's what I love about it. I'm just an old country Bible preacher. You can't get mad at me because I preach the Bible. So I'm just going to tell you what God says, and then you can make a decision. And guess what? If you get mad, you can just get mad at God. Because I'm just going to tell you what God says. And you can get in your quiet time and you can write him a lengthy letter. And you can say, God, I don't agree with what you say. And you take that up with God. And guess what?